We are in the midst of what is referred to in the liturgy as the Epiphany season or Epiphany tide. This, of course, is just part of the Christmas celebration that the Church invites us to. And today's liturgy has to do with our Lord's third manifestation of His divinity. We say His manifestation because it is an instance of when He first showed that He was more than a man, and indeed God Himself. The story that is told here is intriguing because of its nice touches. It was written by one who witnessed the whole affair. St. John has a very clear eye, and it is easy to see that he was present, because there are details given, little phrases included in the narrative that are certain to be the observations of the narrator. Try to understand that a Jewish wedding in these days was quite a social affair. Cana was a small town, and many of the people of the town were related. Regardless of that, these weddings were the outstanding social events of the people, so that literally everybody was expected to come. Everybody in this town and everybody of the acquaintance and relationship of the bride and the groom. The wedding was not such as our weddings are, set aside for a day and everything is over. These weddings lasted easily, often a week. And the people came not only once, but they would come back if they could on another day. You can imagine how much food was consumed. It was a glad time. I might mention also that weddings were a much more serious affair with the Jews in these days. For that reason, they did not fall apart very often. In fact, it was almost unheard of. The preparation for the wedding was very careful, and the wedding celebration itself, a gala thing, very celebrative. So it is not altogether surprising on this occasion that the wine toward the end of the affair began to run short. Mary seems to have been close to the family, close enough that she was involved with the serving, and she makes the observation to our Lord that they are running out of wine. And Jesus puts her off by saying, "Woman, what is that to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come." The second sentence explains partially the first, but the first suggests that our Lord was saying, really, this is not any of our business. This is their problem. Many people have written many lines about this saying of our Lord and wondered why he would speak to his mother so curtly, and instead of saying mother to her, call her woman. It is to be understood that Jesus uses words very carefully, even to his own mother. The masters of these matters agree that our Lord used the word to teach a little lesson to Our Lady that she must not consider him any longer as her son, but rather that he was now the Messiah, the teacher of the people, and she would, after this, be more his disciple than his mother, and she would be treated accordingly. But there is another reason. Jesus speaks this way to her to give us an example of how he wants us to treat him with regard to our prayer. If at times you ask God for things and he seems uninterested, if he seems instead to put you down or to put you off or to have no interest at all in your request, if he seems to find you a bit noisome, you are to act exactly the way Mary did. You are to presume that he is testing your faith. In this case, there doesn't seem to have been much test, because the Blessed Virgin Mary knew her son well, as she knew her God well. I imagine that when he said this, a little smile played across Our Lady's face, and she turned away from him and went about her business as women know how to do, ignoring what he said. And she, as it were, in a roundabout way, gives him an order, as mothers have a right to do sons. He says, "My hour is not yet come." We'll explain what that means in just a moment. Once Our Lady tells the waiters to fill these jars for the many uses that they make of water, our Lord, without further ado, sends a sampling of the water made wine to the chief steward. You may wonder, in your reflections on this little event, why Jesus did not simply tell the waiters to serve the wine now to the people. But he was only following the proper procedure. It was not for him to see to the food or the drink of the affair. Rather, that was the business of the chief steward. And in this way, he indicates to him that there is a new supply of wine that has just been broken out. As we can imagine, the amount of wine that our Lord made here was a very large one. We can estimate these water jars to have held possibly 15 to 20 gallons apiece. So you can be sure that there was more than enough wine to carry them through to the end of the marriage. And it goes without saying that the Creator of the world would make nothing less than the best kind of wine and not serve it until it's time. Our Lord says, "My hour is not yet come." What does he mean by that? He's warning the Blessed Virgin Mary that if he works this miracle, it is going to be known, the word will get out, and after that he will not be as he is in the eyes of the people at this point, merely her son. Now he will be a public figure, and this will be the beginning of many miracles, and it will be the beginning of his public life. So that really, it is Mary who decides, and he lets her decide when his public life will begin. And this is very important, because once he begins his miracles and his preaching, then it is as if He is on a schedule. It is as if all things thereafter are focused to another occasion when again he will address her as woman. Because once he begins his public life, the people begin to flock to him and he works miracles to bring them to him. He begins to expose his doctrine and to expose himself, to reveal what he is and what he has come for. But as you know, the more he exposes his purpose and his identity, the more enemies he makes. Simeon had said that he will be a sign which will be contradicted. And that is exactly what his public mission will result in. He will be someone who will be contradicted, that is, spoken against. Sides will form both for and against him. The whole Jewish nation, and indeed the whole world and every generation of the world, will have to make a decision about this man, this God who has become a man. So that it is Mary who really is allowed to determine when he will no longer be her son, just as she was allowed to determine whether he would be her son. And the final eventuality is that due to this miracle, he is caught and nailed to a cross, and then from the cross he requires that the final oblation on her part be confected, that she give him up and that she take instead all of his children and all those who will be one with him in his mystical body as her own children. The final lesson to be learned from this event and this reading is that if at times you ask Jesus for something and he does not seem interested in your request, instead seems to be difficult about it, if at times he seems to be otherwise occupied, then you should call in what I refer to as power behind the throne, the one person whom he dares not disobey. You make your request to Mary, and even though he is her God, she is still his son, and she still obeys, or he still obeys her as a son in the Father.